It's Lynn with you here, BBC Radio Wales. My first guest this afternoon is a businesswoman, a successful property developer, and she's also a vocal advocate for sex workers' rights. And the reason? Well, it's because it's something in which she has been very closely involved. But let's let her explain. Her name is Elizabeth G, and her memoir is called Unashamed: Why Do People Pay for Sex? Elizabeth, welcome to the show. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Lynn. It's lovely to be speaking with you.
Now, the book is called Unashamed, yet at the very start of the book, you talk about feeling shame when you're with your family. Tell me about that.
Yes, I mean, yeah, obviously, like you say, the book is called Unashamed, but it's really a lot about my journey of dealing with shame and breaking through the shame, the years of not even knowing that I was feeling shame with certain things. So being sexually open as a woman and working as a sex worker, I got to realise that through therapy that shame is actually can almost be a bit invisible. We don't always realise we're feeling shame until a therapist points it out. And that was really my journey with it, was just learning about it and breaking through those barriers and really owning who I am.
So you didn't tell your family at all? None of your family knew what you did to make a crust?
No, they didn't.
Wow. To keep that secret, Elizabeth, not easy.
Yes. No, I mean, yeah, it was really hard. And I think, you know, when you're in something, I was kind of just in the zone and just getting on with things. But again, it's, you know, what I talk about in the book, it's sex work is seen as such a shameful thing. This is the narrative that we've heard for years and years. And this is what I'm really trying to break through and change that narrative, because it is an industry that's not going anywhere. There is a positive side to it. There's a healing side that I talk about in the book. It's not all dark and seedy. I accept there is that side to it. And I fully support those stories being told. But I just felt like my side of the story hadn't been told, which is kind of my motivation for writing my memoir, Unashamed.
So tell me, Elizabeth, did anyone know about that side of your life from your family? I mean, what did you tell them you did for a living?
So as far as they're aware, I was a massage therapist, which was technically true. I was also a qualified massage therapist and still use that skill as part of the sex work. So the two kind of went hand in hand. But my close friends knew and they were supportive. Mm. Some people I told along the way weren't supportive, and those friendships sort of naturally dissolved. But being honest about my profession, I suppose I really saw the truth in people, those who were accepting and supportive and those who weren't.
Yeah. So when did it all start then, Elizabeth?
So really it started after I graduated from university. I was 22 years old and I just wanted to spread my wings and travel to Australia. And it was whilst I was in Sydney that I came across an opportunity to work in a massage parlour. It kind of all started from there, really.
I'm struggling. I don't know much about massage, but was that concerning to you at all? Were you ever afraid?
Yeah, to be honest, I wasn't. I was just thinking, it's interesting you asked that question. I think I've always been very sexually open and very non-judgmental about that side of life, and willing to explore things. I think a lot of people, when they talk about sex work, they just think of the men and the clients. But my argument is, no, I wanted to do these things. I wasn't forced into it. I was always sexually open, and I was looking for a connection for myself as well. So I don't think I was ever really scared. It was just more of a curiosity, I suppose.
Yeah, if you were open to it, then you were. Yes, it won't be a problem for you in that sense.
Yes.
Tell me, was it purely for the money then? You were in Australia and you needed to make a bit of money. So was it purely for the money then?
I mean, that was a big factor in it, I suppose. But I mean, lots of people go through money struggles, and not everybody decides to work in the sex industry. But my money was dwindling whilst I was in Sydney, and I was due to do my trip up the East Coast and do some travelling. And money was a motivating factor. But I think combined with that, my openness when it comes to sex, I think it was sort of a combination of the two, and the curiosity as well.
This is such a boring question, but it's the sort of question I'd love to know the answer to. What's the tax situation?
So I declared my income as a massage therapist.
Right.
Honest in that sense.
Yeah.
Because I realised, you know, if I wanted to buy a property or, you know, I didn't want to not declare what I was earning. Mm. You know, I think, and this is the trouble with the industry, there's so much stigma and shame around it. Why can't sex workers just put that on their tax return? Mm-hmm. And then that's what kind of influences the shame and the hiding it. So yeah, I declared it as a massage therapist.
Thank you for sorting that out, because I wondered what you do, like when HMRC sends you the form. I like that. Thank you. Thank you for that, Elizabeth.
I also have a really good accountant. He's very understanding, and he's so non-judgmental, and he's been great to support me through my tax returns.
That must have been an interesting first conversation with him, Elizabeth. Wait, I'm looking for an accountant. Oh, yes, madam. And what do you do for a living? You know, was that a bit difficult? Genuinely, was that difficult?
I mean, the previous one before that was there was something I think a bit dodgy about him. He was quite judgmental, but this particular one, you know, you just know when you talk to someone if they're going to judge you or not. And I just knew when we had our first conversation that he was open and understanding.
I like to get the practicality sorted. I'm a very practical woman.
Of course. Of course. I totally agree.
Thank you. Tell me, how did you feel about what you were doing? I mean, because, certainly in Australia and then maybe coming back home. I mean, was it, because you, as you say, you're very open about sex. So it was all good?
So you mean like the journey throughout my career?
Well, yeah, and certainly right at the very beginning, when I know that your trajectory, and we'll talk about a little bit later on, into a more high-end West London kind of a thing going on. But when you were in Australia as a youngster, you were still very young. Mm. You know, I would worry about you, Elizabeth. I worry. What can I say?
Well, again, Lynn, this is the stigma around sex work, that it's all dark and dangerous and seedy and awful. And again, I'm not denying there's not a side to it that is that. But that just wasn't my experience. It was fun. I met lovely clients. We helped each other. In the beginning, it was a lot of partying and just having some fun and earning some decent money along the way. But this is kind of my argument in the book. It's, you know, that seedy side that people think that it's all about, and it really wasn't. From my experience, there was so many lovely clients that I met, regular people who were just in seeking some companionship, or perhaps were lonely or going through a mentally tough time and just needed someone to talk to. So this is really what I'm trying to change, that narrative, and show people there is a different side to the industry.
Elizabeth, stay where you are. We are going to take a break for some music. And when we come back, we'll hear more from Elizabeth G, about why people pay for sex and why she wants to remove the shame and stigma that is associated with the world's oldest profession. It's Lynn with you. It's BBC Radio Wales. And I'm talking to Elizabeth G about her memoir, Unashamed, Why Do People Pay for Sex? Now, Elizabeth, we need to cut to the chase. You have the experience. From your experience, why do you think people pay for sex?
Well, Lynn, I mean, that answer does vary from client to client. Mm-hmm. Everybody has different needs. But if I had to answer that with one word, I would say connection. Mm-hmm. That skin-on-skin connection energy that we all crave as humans. But like I said, it does vary. I mean, a lot of clients were lonely people or going through a bad breakup or a divorce, or some of them were grieving a loss of a relative. I saw one client who his brother had committed suicide a few weeks before seeing me, and he just wanted to talk to someone and get a bit of attention and love and nurture. So it does vary from person to person. I mean, some clients, they might just lack confidence with women, and they're looking to build on that, to build their confidence. And others, it's more to explore certain fantasies or a bit of escapism. One of my favourite stories was a client that I saw who was disabled. He'd been in a motorbike accident, and it was his grandmother who had organised the booking. And I always remember it because she was so lovely and so understanding. And at that point, I realised there is so much more to the sex industry than what a lot of people do realise.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've said, and from what you've been talking about, your experience has been largely positive, but we've touched on this, and we have to be honest and say that many of those caught up in selling sex, this is not a positive situation at all.
Yes, yes. And I totally understand that. As I said, I'm aware there's a dark side to the industry, but it's not the only industry that has a dark side. I mean, if you look at Hollywood and Harvey Weinstein and how long that went on for, but it's always the sex workers who are shamed and stigmatized the most. But I do feel it's that shaming, it's that stigmatizing and pushing us into the shadows, pretending that we don't exist. That then fuels the exploitation and the traffickers. So I suppose with my mission is to bring sex work more to the mainstream for those of us who do want to do the job and enjoy it, so that the traffickers and those intent on exploiting us won't be able to take advantage of us so much. It will make it more difficult for them. Whereas at the moment, it's an industry that is so much under the radar and it's not regulated. And there are people who will take advantage of that.
And that sense of shame that you felt, did it ever go away?
I mean, it's interesting you say that, actually, because I still see my therapist now, the one who helped me break through the shame. And every now and then we talk about just the power of shame. It can sometimes almost stick to us like glue. I think a lot of people don't even realise they're feeling shame. So I think there are certain snippets of it every now and then. But that's the great thing with therapy is that I have the awareness now. I have the tools to deal with it and say, no, actually, I'm not going to feel shame. I'm not a bad person. What I was doing was helping people. And there's lots of people out there, lots of sex workers who are working with the same mentality of helping people. So it's just not allowing shame to silence you, because I think there's so much danger with shame itself. I mean, it's directly linked to drug abuse, self-harm, eating disorders. It is very much a powerful thing.
Now, as our conversation has been going on, you really want people to understand this industry, don't you? And to dispel some of the myths and have an open conversation about it. And then I assume, from what you've said, you hope that then maybe some of the darker side will have a light shone on it, and maybe very bad experiences for mainly women will end. I'm assuming that's what you're saying. How on earth do we do that, though, Elizabeth?
Well, I understand what you're saying, Lynn. Sometimes it does feel like a huge challenge to me.
Yeah.
But I don't have all the answers. I'm just opening up the conversation. I just know I need to try something and see if something works, because I just don't want anyone to go through what I went through. You know, for years and years, I felt like I was a bad person just for doing something that felt natural to me and was ultimately helping people. So I'm just trying my hardest to bring about change and to share my story and hoping that something will stick. But as I said, I don't have all the answers. I'm just being brave enough to try.
Well, good on you. The thing is, Kate, you've said that you became, I'm trying to get the right, a high-end escort. That's the phrase I'm looking for. You became a high-end escort in West London and you could make quite a lot of money. So you were dealing with gentlemen who have a lot of money and who didn't want to do, I'm assuming, anything unpleasant to the women that they encountered. Firstly, as I said, and I've asked you this before, did you ever feel in danger? And secondly, you must be like 1% of the people who are involved in this industry.
I was never attacked. I had a couple of hairy moments. You would have seen, reading the book. There was a couple of hairy moments, but I was never attacked. I never felt really threatened. But I suppose I'm coming from the opinion of I've got the experience in the industry and I've worked the industry, and I know other people that have worked in the industry as well that have also had positive experiences. It is just this narrative that the media play out that it's all really dark and seedy and really dangerous. Whereas, you know, I don't believe sex work itself to be dangerous. Being a soldier on the front line, that's dangerous. But it's that shaming, it's that stigmatizing. That's where the real danger lies with sex work, I believe.
You've chosen to write your story. It's quite a brave thing to do in this instance. What made you do it?
Like I said, I live in shame for years and years, and it was my therapist who helped me break through all of that shame. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to make life better for the next generation of sex workers so that others don't have to live in shame like I did.
Do you feel in your lifetime that will happen?
I hope so. I really do. I mean, I'm campaigning to amend the Equality Act of 2010 to include sex workers in the protected characteristics. I think little things like that will make a big, big difference. If sex workers can feel like they can open up about the profession, or if something happens, they can report it and not be shamed for it. I think those intent on exploiting sex workers know the chances are they're going to get away with it because it's not regulated, or sex workers feel so shameful that they're not going to report it. So if I can amend the law somehow or bring about change that will give sex workers the confidence to talk about it, I really do see that making a difference.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for talking to me this afternoon. That is Elizabeth G. She is the author of Unashamed, Why Do People Pay for Sex? And it's published by White Fox.